Hello, everyone. I hope you like the things we're going to say.
Yeah, we are Lee and Herring here on 1FM with 1 hour of chat. We've got some great music and some rubbish music as well.
Lee and Herring, better than Bruno Brooks, not as good as John Peel.
This download is brought to you by www.fistoffun.net.
It's December, and that means it's time for the British Obviously Completely Wrong Comedy Awards, coming to you from the heart of London's West End. So please, welcome your host, and expect a string of hilarious gags about not being able to pronounce the letter R. Yes, it's Jonathan Woss. Woss, haha, do you see?
Hello, thank you very much. I am Jonathan Woss, and it's really nice to be doing the Completely Wrong Comedy Awards again. Once again, this year, I've been a host of talented comedians and innovative new shows, such as The Fast Show, Mrs. Merton, Knowing Me, Knowing You, Shooting Stars, The Chris Moyes Radio Show, and Fantasy Football Wall, that we are going to totally fail to award in any way at all. So far, the Completely Wrong Award for the funniest comedy show ever has gone to Tim Vine's Housemates, and here with the nominations for the funniest person ever, it's a small boy from the McCain's Oven Chip Advert.
Hello, Jonathan. It's most excellent to be here. And looking down the list of nominees, I see they are most excellent. Most excellent. Should I do something outrageous now in an ill-fated and unfunny attempt to generate some publicity for myself?
There isn't time, boy, for the McCain's Oven Chip Ad. Just read the nominations.
You can't say the letter R, can you, Jonathan?
Get on with it.
The nominations are John Cleese, Peter Cook, Eric Morecambe, Woody Allen, and Rory Bremner. And the winner is, if I can just get the envelope open. Oh, most excellent. It's Rory Bremner.
May I just say how lovely it is to win this award, and even though no one watches my show, likes me, or knows who I am, it is right that I've won. And, you know, it sets my satirical mind thinking. I wonder what John Majors would do if he won an award. I think it might go something like this.
Hello, I am John Majors, and I have won the award for the Tory government being the most rubbish government ever.
Thank you. Oh, wee Bremner there, the funniest man ever. Now it's time for the Completely Wrong Lifetime Comedy Award for services to radio, and it's been won by Lee and Herring. Let's hear a clip of that.
Hello. Oh, we're not bitter, are we, Stu? No. Oh, no. A cold Fergie keeps on losing stuff. I saw her at an airport getting on a plane. She had a pearl necklace around her neck. When she got to America, it had been swiped or wiped off or something.
This is pearl necklace. A new album on Flying Nun of New Zealand bands playing ABBA songs. It's Love's Ugly Children. This is their version of Honey Honey.
Johnny Bryant was at the old airport with a smile on his face as well.
Was he?
Spaghetti.
Jokes, swearing, and 8 or 9 slightly irritating records.
Hello, and thank you for joining us. Yeah.
Hello.
In the studio with us tonight, it's me, Stu, and there's Rich.
Hello, hello, I am here.
And Pete's here as well.
Hello.
Pete.
Yes. Oh, my head.
You all right, Pete?
All right.
And Sally Phillips, hello, Sal.
Hello.
And Kev.
All right.
And Rod Hull as well is here from Rod Hull and Ian.
Yes, I am!
Yes, there he is there, Rod Hull. What is the matter with you? Like, you're so lacking in energy. What is the matter?
We all went to the old BBC Radio Light Entertainment party last night and got really drunk. And we were really hungover.
How irresponsible.
It was free drink. And there was Blakey from On the Buses there. All the stars are there. I didn't go. Well, you didn't go, because you were a curmudgeon. Tim Vine was meant to come, but he couldn't make it. Was doing an opening something. It's terrible, but you know, it's
drunk before
got a terrible hangover, and you know, it's the terrible thing about December Christmas parties, and the worst thing about December is everyone coming up to you with their hangover cures that never work, and you know, I hate that. So what we're looking for actually is that tonight with our competition, our opponent on 0500 110 100 with the worst hangover cure you can come up with. It could be just someone that doesn't work at all, or one that makes it worse. So we've got some examples. Peter, what would be your worst hangover cure?
What you do is like get a big knife and cut a hole in your stomach.
Yeah.
And then pour like loads of salt in, and then that sort of just makes it worse, I think.
Well, it would work like on a carpet. You'd pour salt on a carpet to soak up alcohol. Yeah. It might work, but it's quite a bad hangover cure. Have you got one, Sally?
Yeah, the hair of the dog's supposed to be quite good. You shave the hair off a dog and then try to dissolve that hair in a cup of that dog's wee, and then you drink it.
That is pretty cure. Find that hard to beat. Kevin, have you got
I've got a good bad one. What you do is you get three eggs, some pepper, some Tabasco sauce, right, then you throw it in the eyes of the Nazi murderer, John Majors.
How is that going to cure a hangover?
Well, what it'll do is cure the hangover the British nation has after 25 years under the Tory jet boots.
Very different thing.
What about Rod Hull? Rod Hull, have you got
yes! The only real cure for a hangover is not to drink! Remember, alcohol is a drug, and it's more deadly than the most lethal poison or the bomb that destroyed Hiroshima! People might laugh at you if you say don't drink, but just say, Rod Hull of Rod Hull and Emo doesn't drink, and neither do I! And look at their impressed faces!
Yeah, it's a bit of a curmudgeon-y one. I remember there's some prizes there for the best one. Ring on 0500 1100 with your worst hangover cures. You win all our rubbish, and if we've got two identical CDs left in our box.
It's always a delight to be joined by Rod Hull as well.
Thank you!
There he is again. Really is him. I was reading in the paper, Lady Di has been saying how nice she is because she does secret charity work.
Yeah.
And I can relate to that because I do a lot of secret work for charity as well.
No, you don't.
I do, actually, Rich. I do. I work for a special charity called The Kindly Deceivers.
The Kindly Deceivers,
Stu? That's right. The Kindly Deceivers. What we do is if a terrible tragedy happens to someone, rather than helping them cope with it via therapy or whatever, we just try and make sure they never find out about it by deceiving them in a kindly way. We feel that is best.
But I don't see how that could possibly work.
Well, I'll show you what I mean, Rich. Suppose, Rich, that all your family had been killed in a plane crash, say, 10 years ago. Suppose that had happened. Mm. Then my job as a kindly deceiver would be to befriend you and to try and keep you busy by involving you in an elaborate and fruitless quest for TV and radio stardom so that you never found out.
Hmm. And do you do a lot of this kindly deceiving, then?
Well, the thing is, it's very time-consuming, so you can never really have more than one project on the go at any one time.
All right, so who are you kindly deceiving now, then?
No one at this stage.
Well, that seems strange, because you were saying about
I'm
that.
Not, though.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, what about you? Do you do a lot of work for charity, Rich?
Loads.
What then?
Done loads.
Like what?
Well, I can't say. It's secret work for charity.
Which the only point in doing secret work for charity, as Lady Di knows, is if everyone finds out about it.
But all right, you've pushed me into it. I do a lot of work with otters.
Otters, really?
Yeah, every weekend I go down to the British Otter Sanctuary in East Anglia and I bathe and care for sick otters if they've hurt their paws and can't do it, you know. I like to do it, give a bit back to the people who've helped me, you know.
Otters helped you, did they?
Mainly otters. Of course, the weather's been very bad recently, but luckily, with the snow, you've got to be careful. Luckily, we got the world expert on snow, Sally Phillips.
That's
actually
right.
The world expert on snow, and she's here.
And she's got lots of ideas to give us to help you cope with the inherent dangers of snow.
Sally's Snow Advice.
Hello. Now, snow may look very fluffy and comfortable and nice, but beware. Don't be tempted to go to sleep in it. You will die. And yellow snow. Yellow snow is a particularly rare form of snow that's packed full of nutrients and vitamins. So if you ever see a patch of yellow snow, be sure to gobble it all up. And remember, there's no business like snow business.
Very good.
Thanks for that.
Very interesting facts there about how is snow actually, how's it formed or something?
In the clouds.
Mm. Right, how interesting. Sally Phillips, the world snow expert.
This is Katie Lee here. It's from an album called Songs of Couch and Consultation that an American psychiatrist wrote in the 1950s about his patients. Mm. And this is called The Will to Fail.
I'm outwardly calm, apparently normal, quick to smile and slow to peak. But I have a little quirk, a pattern, so to speak. I rarely, if ever, hold a job. I never finish my work. I'm an affable kind of a slob. a highly disorganized, placid sort of a jerk. I've got the will to fail, the will to fail. I have talents that I never use. I try to win, but I love to lose, because I've got the will to fail. It's such a thrill to fail, a thrill to fail. I've a backward kind of basic need. I get my kicks when I don't succeed, because I've got the will to fail. I seem to make an effort, but I never do connect. And while I'm very rational, I'm seldom, if ever, practically never correct. Because I've got the will to fail, the will to fail. I secretly am enjoying myself, but slowly I'm destroying myself. I think I got a tiger by the tail, a tiger called the will to fail.
And don't forget to call in with all your hangover cure ideas. Philip Goodfellow of Upminster suggested 17 hours of watching Housemates.
Ooh, back to back. 0500 110 100. Congratulations to Mike Abbotton and for his great British achievement of ruining a game of cricket by just batting really slowly. Well done, boys.
I seem to make an effort, but I never do connect. And while I'm very rational, I'm seldom, if ever, practically never correct, because I've got the will to fail, the will to fail. I secretly am enjoying myself, while slowly I'm destroying myself. I think I got a tiger by the tail, a tiger called the will to fail.
Well, she may have the will to fail, but she succeeded in managing to get to the end of that song. And very, very nice it was too. Well done.
Yeah. Oh, I wonder how those psychiatrist patients felt to find their trust had been betrayed in that way. So, oh, you know, you came in for that private consultation. I made a sort of novelty song about it. I hope you don't mind.
No, it'd be a terrible thing.
It would be
a terrible thing. Well, I trusted you. I thought you were going to do it. Well, it'd be terrible. I mean, something like that, though, a terrible illness like that these people go through. Like, if anything happened to my parents like that, you know.
If it happened to who, Rich?
My parents. I don't know what I'd do.
Rich, I've just dropped a pen top under the desk. Oh, yeah. I'm just going down here to get it. All right.
Oh, sure, you don't seem
ring
hard.
Ring.
Oh, that's the phone. It's ringing. I better get it. Hello
Rich, it's me.
Who's that?
It's your mum.
Oh, hi mum, how are
I
you?
I am alive.
All right.
And so is your dad. All right.
Oh, thank you. Good, it's nice to hear from you again.
Oh, right. I picked up the pen top, Rich.
Oh,
it's good. On the floor there.
My mum just rang then. She's very well.
Oh, good. Is your dad all right as well?
Yeah, well, I didn't speak to him. She said so, I assume. Oh,
he
so
probably is then.
Of course, the good news this week is that the Anne and Nick show is going to be cancelled, become Yay! Deleted. Hooray! How do you feel about that, Rod? Anne and Nick, do you like them?
Yeah. Rod Hull there.
Rod Hull is very pleased with that news. He's hoping that he and Emu can take over.
Maybe.
And let's face it, they'd be better. And,
yeah, they've got more personality, that puppet, isn't it?
And Nick's hand's usually up Anne's arse as well, isn't it?
Rich,
so, this morning is doing very well, and in recognition of the popularity that this morning has got, it's moving from the provinces actually to London because it's done so successfully.
That's interesting.
A mark of success, that is.
Because, of course, we're filming the second series of Fist of Fun.
Yeah.
Not in London, we've been moved to Manchester, aren't we?
That doesn't
probably
mean
nothing,
anything. It doesn't mean that we failed or anything.
Right.
So anyway, but what I was a bit worried about is what is going to happen to Fred Talbot. Is he going to come down with them? So we decided we'd give him a ring, and we've actually got him on the line right now.
Hello, is that Fred Talbot there?
Hey!
Hi, Fred.
Oh, hey, the Houston. What's the weather like down there?
It's been snowing, actually, Fred.
Oh!
anyway, Fred, you must be a bit upset about this Richard and Judy moving down to London.
Well, it was a bit upsetting initially. Richard and Judy said they were leaving the Albert Dock, they said, unfortunately, I wouldn't be able to come down, as I had to stay and look after the This Morning map, which is a very important thing. Apparently.
Yeah. But, you know, Fred, this morning wouldn't be this morning without Fred Talbot running around on a giant floating map and always running out of time so the southwest of England gets a completely unintelligible, garbled forecast.
I agree.
This morning without Fred Talbot, Fred, that's like E17 without one of the blokes who stands at the back moving around a bit.
Yeah.
It's like the Beatles without Pete Best or something.
Well, it did seem a shame, Stu and Rich, but then I thought if Mohammed can't come to the mountain, then the mountain will come to Mohammed, by which I mean the map and me will come to London. I'm going to cut the map free from its moorings and sail around the coast of Britain to the Thames and London so I can continue my report.
You're going to sail on a map? Wouldn't it be easier, Fred, to have taken it to London on a lorry or a train?
No, it wouldn't, because you need a crane to get the map out of the water. My way means the expense of the crane is saved.
Yeah. But, I mean, the conditions out at sea, they're going to be somewhat bleak, I would say, especially now in winter, the weather we're having.
Oh, now it's have a supply of colourful jumpers and cakes sent in by middle-aged women viewers, and they'll set me in good stead.
Well, they won't, Fred. I mean, you're definitely going to die.
No, Stu. The Vikings got all the way to America on simple rafts. Probably. I should think it's obvious that a foam rubber mat will be enough to just get me round the coast of Britain. Plus, my weather knowledge should stand me in good stead. If I, for example, see a cloud, my weather knowledge will tell me that might mean rain. So I will steer my map away from the cloud towards the sun.
Fred, it's night time at the moment. It's night. Well, aren't you worried about getting lost as well?
How can I get lost? I'm travelling on a giant map. I need only look at the map to see where I am. Plus, this map clearly shows various landmarks to guide me. Now, according to my map, Tower Bridge is some 50 miles wide and 200 miles tall. I should be able to see that from quite a way.
Yes, Fred, but look, Fred, the weather map is not exactly the most seaworthy of vessels, is it? Aren't you worried that you're going to sink?
Why? It's the same shape as the British Isles, and the British Isles are perfectly seaworthy. I mean, they don't sink, do they?
That's a very different thing, Fred. The British Isles are attached to the world by rock, right? But your little map, that's made of some kind of foam rubber. It's different. It's suicide, what you're doing, Fred.
I expect that's what the press said to Captain Scott before he went to the South Pole, but it didn't stop him.
Captain Scott was killed on that expedition.
Oh, nonsense! I know what I'm doing. Now, just cut the moorings. Let my voyage begin!
Banzai! Oh dear, I hope Fred will be okay.
Hope he dies, to be honest. This is Teenage Fan Club, one of the few good groups in Britain. This is Sparky's Dream. She lived in space, man. I built a plane. I'd like to be media to hear you talk again. That never dried. Always try to keep being alive. We had a crystal ball to see her in the morning. Magic eyes to read between the lines. One direction, I promise you in style. In one dimension, fading fast, we're taking this too far.
Hi, I think we've got Dave on the line. What's your bad hangover cure, Dave?
Hi, I live on an island called Millport.
Yeah.
And we found that our best hangover cure is to wait for one of the idiot holidaymakers to come over, get drunk, then race over the side of the pier into the waters.
That's good. Fred West did the same thing. It's gonna fly.
Snow advice.
Hello again. Snow is expected to fall everywhere in Britain this week, except in houses. So Sally's snow tip is that you should be safe in there. Also, every snowflake is different, so there's no point trying to collect them all. And in any case, they will just melt in your hand as you show them to friends or try to swap them. But remember, Sally's snow advice may include light-hearted moments, but snow is snow joke.
Hey, wanna hang out with Bon Jovi?
I'm there, dude.
The Radio 1 Bon Jovi Christmas Giveaway. This is so cool. The winner flies to New York on the 20th of December, then over to New Jersey by limousine the next day. Get a VIP backstage pass to the Bon Jovi Christmas gig for family and friends. See a 3 to 4 hour Bon Jovi show. Hang out with the band afterwards. Play pool with the band. Drink beer with the band. And other cool stuff with the band. Then it's back to Manhattan for a day out before you come back in time for Christmas Eve. Only 97 to 99 FM Radio 1 gives you the prizes money can't buy. But you've got to listen to Chris Evans on Monday for part one of the competition. 6:30 till 9. If you're going to be late, bring a note from your mum.
Mmm, that'd be a great prize. Second prize, of course, two nights with Bon Jovi. Ah.
Oh, God, that's so rubbish, I
mean. But, it was a bad
that'd
joke.
Be worse, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well, it wouldn't really. It'd be better if you like Bon Jovi. But then, if you like,
but no one does. Who
they
does?
Don't. There we go. Anyway, we asked people to send.
Rottel
is a big fan. Last week, we asked people to send in their Hearts of Paper nominations for people who've done mediocre things, not good things like Hearts of Gold or bad things that you get sent to prison for. We got several in. Peter Agamemnon Tunstall nominated sister Claire Trotsky Tunstall. Good middle name skills there. Who once nearly fell over, but then didn't. But didn't that fall didn't, over. Didn't win.
Martina Huish nominates Sarah Wicks because when she sleeps over at her house, she always folded up the bedclothes in the morning.
It's a nice thing to do, but not that nice. David Jones of Doncaster nominates his friend Andrew Kenavin, who smashed David's GCSE technology coursework with a hammer while David wasn't looking. But David actually didn't mind and kept quiet about it to ensure that Andrew was never caught, and he's never told anyone about it to this
day. But the winner is coming up now. Let's see if we can get him on the line. It is Chris Moffat. Hello, Chris.
Hello, are you there, Chris?
Hello.
Hi, Chris. Do you remember when your friend Robin Schroeder forgot to collect his English literature coursework from school? Do you remember what you did then?
No.
Well, you collected it for him, apparently, you told us. Do you remember
you
doing
collected
that?
His coursework for him, didn't you? Do you remember now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, Chris, well done, mate.
For doing that, you have won the first, and for forgetting as well, which is even more mediocre, you have won the first Lee and Herring Heart of Paper Award.
Yay!
That'll be in the poster, Chris. How do you feel?
I feel incredible. Well, that's amazing.
You have a Heart of Paper.
Thank you, Chris.
If you think someone else deserves a Heart of Paper, anyone at home, write to us. We're in room 1000. Oh, actually, you know, room 1006, Broadcasting House, London, W1A, 1AA. Include their phone number if you can, and we'll ring them up and tell them. Well done, Chris.
Well done, Chris. Goodbye now.
Bye-bye.
We have a minute and 10 seconds to deal with our next guest, who is, you may have the shock news that Weathers' Ulrika Johnson is involved allegedly in a love tryst with Gladiator star Hunter. Mm. And to explain his side of the story, here is Hunter. Thanks for coming on.
Hello. Thank you for having me. I brought a fairy cake in with me. Would you like a slice of my fairy cake?
No, thanks.
Oh, I'd like one. Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Thanks.
Hunter, shall I call you Hunter or what?
Well, my real name is John Turnbull.
Right,
but you can call me Hunter, though, no.
First
are you enjoying my fairy cake, Richard?
Yes, thank you, Hunter, it's absolutely delicious.
Well, eat it, then.
Yeah, well, I will, but, you know, later.
How did you become involved with Ulrika Johnson?
Well, I just finished doing a gladiator activity, and I was eating one of my fairy cakes, and Ulrika came over to me, and she said, that fairy cake looks delicious, wouldn't you? And I said, it is, have a bite, and she did, and it went from there, really. Honestly, though, me and Weathers, Ulrika Johnson, who'd have believed it? Are you sure you won't have a fairy cake, Stuart? Go on, they're delicious.
No, fine, that one
they're only tiny, so there's no need to worry about the calories. Gladiators, have you seen the power?
Thanks,
of the
Hunter. Thanks for coming in.
Oh, is that me done then?
Yeah. At the moment, you hang around.
Will you be wanting those fairy cakes?
No.
I'll take them then.
No, it's not. You know, it's not how I expected Hunter to be. Like, what to be looking at.
Never judge a book by its cover. It's time
it's a good
now.
Moral that
it is. It's a good moral. He's got a high voice. It's a bit like Rod Hull, wasn't
he? He was a bit.
And now it's time for the listings with Kevin and Sally.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Pardon, Kev.
Nothing.
What did you say?
I said, quack, quack.
Well, don't, all right?
Sorry.
Anyway, what have you got for us this week, then?
This? Do you like pastry? If so, then you'll be delighted to learn that the British Pastry Archive will be flinging open its gates to the pastry-loving British public for the first time on Saturday, Britain's first British Pastry Day. There'll be music by Brian Eno, who's said to quite like eating pastry, especially with a fruit or savoury filling, and dance from the post-war music hall act Mr. Pastry. A specially commissioned pastry display will explain the history of pastry in Britain and look at bits of pastry that have played an important part in history, such as an ancient piece of burnt pastry that may have been a pastry part of one of the pastry cakes legendary ruined by pasty King Alfred, but probably wasn't. This pastry-based pastry fest will begin at 7 a.m.
And if you don't like pastry, how about this?
a deadly toxic nerve virus will be released into the atmosphere at Cannon Hill Park, Birmingham on Sunday. A choir of children from St Mark's School, Spark Hill, will sing a tearful dirge as local celebrity Jeff Lynn of the Travelling Wilburys unleashes the fatal virus, which contains his wee, in gas form. I hate the human race and will be glad to see them perish, laughed the once Electric Light Orchestra frontman.
And let's pull the drawstrings on this by mentioning the fact that if you enjoy complaining about sex, violence and filthy language in British society today, then Ian Beardsley has a treat for you on Wednesday. He is inviting anyone who is disgusted by unpalatable things to come to his house in Reading, where he and his wife Tina will be performing various lewd, violent and swearing-based acts. The disgusted viewers will then be at liberty to complain in the strongest terms to Ian and Tina, at which point they will look ashamed and promise never to do it again. There will be blasphemy too, chirped the delighted Ian. I'll be dressing up as Christ and doing evil and debased things and then saying, I am Jesus Christ and I am evil. If you like being shocked and complaining about your disgust, then this could be the ideal event for you.
Thanks, guys.
And if you like complaining about things, why not try this? It's the crass mid-1980s American band, the Angry Samoans.
They say Hitler's cock. They hid it under a rock. I discovered it last night. I couldn't even believe my eyes. Hitler's cock could start to talk. He'd say, to kill today. Hitler's cock could choose his mate.
It isn't rude, Stu. It's talking about Hitler's cockerel. It's a bird. The cockerel is it, or cock.
He wasn't famed for that, was he?
Well. Sorry, we made a terrible error with the Hearts of Paper, which is quite quite a good thing, really, because it is a mediocre award. And we had the wrong Chris up on the line, but I think we've got the real...
No, we've got his
mum. The Moffat household, hello?
Hello?
Who's, are you there? Oh, no, and it's beset by disasters. What a great live show we have. So, can we apologise to Chris Moffat? Apparently his mum was on the line there.
We were given the wrong Chris.
We had the wrong Chris come through. No, she's here, Mrs. Moffat.
No, she's not.
No, she's not here.
Yes, it's like Tiz was here today. There's a fantastic thing coming, a hangover cure. Tom Stewart of Shaftesbury suggests watch Meridian TV and watch the programme Six Pairs of Pants, which features Sally Phillips, and your hangover will go. This is so rubbish. Anyway, it's time to go back over now and see how Fred Talbot's voyage around Britain is going.
Oh, my goodness. Fred, are you all right?
Not really, Richard. As soon as the map had sailed out of Liverpool, a violent storm descended upon the sea. I should have seen it coming, really, but I thought it was going to be sunny.
Well, we did warn you about the darkness of night, Fred.
Well, even qualified weathermen can't be expected to get it right all the time. But anyway, my map is being battered and tossed around the sea
like a large piece of foam rubber, perhaps.
Quite like that, Stuart. The map has sprung a leak. I'm sinking. How a flat piece of foam rubber could sink, I'm not sure, but it is.
Well, you've only got yourself to blame, haven't you? Bad luck, Fred Talbot.
No, it's all right, Joe. Be all right. I was ready for such an eventuality. I brought the island part of the map along with me too, to act as a lifeboat in case of emergency. And the years of leaping from the mainland to Ireland have all stood me in good stead for the time I had to do it in an actual real-life emergency situation like this.
Fred, you're not thinking. Surely the map of Ireland's going to afford you even less protection against the elements in the dark night than that of England, Wales and Scotland combined.
No, it isn't. Here it goes.
There we go, poor old Fred. I think we've got Chris Moffat on the phone now. Are you there, Chris?
Yes, I am.
Have you heard that you've won the Heart of Paper Award?
Yes.
Sorry about the mediocre way you hear about this.
Yes.
Are you delighted?
Quite fantastic, that, yeah.
Yeah, so well done. Well that'll be on the post to you
very
soon.
We'd love to go into details and find out about what a fascinating person you are, but it's time for Newsbeat.